Office space up for grabs.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being here this Wednesday morning. It's not the kind of news you want to hear if you're in the commercial real estate market. Vacancies are up, and that may bode well if you're looking to lock in a lease, but it's also causing some concern. Marketplace's John Dimsdale is with us live from Washington. Hi, John.
Good morning, Steve.
So what are the latest stats on office rents?
Well, in the third quarter of this year, the cost of leasing commercial space fell 8.5% from the previous year. The New York real estate firm Reis reports this morning that's the steepest one-year decline since the mid-90s. There's a huge glut of empty offices. Companies let go of nearly 20 million square feet of space just in the third quarter. And it's a sign of how bad the economy is hitting businesses. But it does help, at least for the time being, companies looking for space, since the owners of commercial real estate are ready to deal to try to stop this exodus.
But John, what does this mean for the commercial real estate industry?
Well, remember, this is an industry that's already reeling from tight credit and the overbuilding of supply. So
yeah.
Falling income from rent is going to hurt. In fact, as the Wall Street Journal reports this morning, the Federal Reserve Board is preparing for a second shock to the real estate system after the residential housing bubble burst. This time, it will be commercial office-based companies that will be defaulting on loans and falling into foreclosure.
And what is the Fed worried about specifically?
Well, they have real estate experts over there, and they're warning that many banks and investors are not protected from the losses they face when the loans they made to office space developers and owners go bad.
All right. Marketplace's John Dimsdale in Washington. John, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
By the way, mortgage applications were up last week 16%. The Mortgage Bankers Association says it was the highest level since May. Earnings season begins today. Wholesale club Costco chimed in this morning, saying it made a smaller-than-expected profit. Alcoa reports later. Let's check the numbers. After starting off in the green today, markets turned a little sour in Europe. Numbers are down about 0.5% or less. In Asia, the Hang Seng was up by more than 2%. Wall Street yesterday, the S&P and NASDAQ were up 1-2%, and the Dow added 131 points to close at 97.31. While the St. Louis Cardinals make their way into the playoffs, playing the Dodgers tonight here in L.A., the city's football team is in the news. Word is talk radio's Rush Limbaugh wants to be one of the St. Louis Rams' new team owners. From St. Louis, Adam Allington has more.
Adding an owner as controversial as Rush Limbaugh could throw a whole new factor into the Rams' business model. A native Missourian, Limbaugh has a history with professional football. In 2003, he was briefly employed as a color commentator for ESPN's NFL pregame show. He left after a dust-up over comments he made that the media overrated Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Donovan McNabb because he was black. Jim Thomas covers the Rams for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. He says it's statements like that which could prove costly should he become part owner.
You just wonder if you're a African-American free agent, say, of some renown, and your choice is between the Rams and Seattle or whoever, would that factor in, knowing if you knew about Limbaugh's comments about McNabb?
Limbaugh is just one name in a group of investors teaming up to purchase the Rams. If the sale goes through, he may not be the controlling owner. One thing's for sure, even the host of America's most popular radio show will have to dig deep to walk away with the team. Despite its losing record, Forbes recently valued the Rams at $900 million. In St. Louis, I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SunGard. 1,600 universities and colleges teach and manage 10 million students with software from SunGard Higher Education. More information at sunguard.com. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
Chinese Premier Wen Jiabao ended a high-profile visit to North Korea today. He met with Kim Jong-il and signed a few trade deals there. Now, there's a lot of money to be made for China in its relationship with the North. Marketplace Asia correspondent Scott Tong reports from the key border city of Dandong.
Just about every morning, dozens of semi-trucks load up with goods going across the Yalu River into North Korea. Chinese truck driver Yuan Keyo.
We carry sheets of steel, pipes, everyday household items, and food like flour and fruit. They don't have any apples there.
China provides some 80% of North Korea's consumer goods, items not banned under UN sanctions. But in a nearby warehouse, one item looks awfully out of place, a treadmill. North Korea's emerging consumer class wants to stay trim, as well as gab in cell phones and gamble in casinos. Word is there's even decent pepperoni pizza in Pyongyang. Selig Harrison at the Center for International Policy in Washington has gone in 11 times.
We have the impression of North Korea as a starving place, but actually the place is economically very much alive as far as the cities and big towns are concerned.
That may be why single malt scotch sells well at the duty-free shop on the border. Chinese saleswoman Wang Yiling shows off a leather wallet, handy for North Korean traders with thick wads of cash.
And here this bag is Benetton from Italy. They also like Dunhill. It's world famous. Don't even try to give them knockoffs. They know when the logo is fake.
As luxury goods move into North Korea, so does Chinese investment in mines to extract iron ore and factories to take advantage of super low labor costs. Exporter Yu Yang says opportunities abound, but doing business with North Koreans can be rough.
Their country is also very corrupt, worse than China. Sometimes we send things over by rail, but they don't send the empty rail cars back.
Two things you don't hear much about in this city, UN sanctions and nuclear bombs. For all the drama over missile testing, traders say here, commerce is king. Last year, China's trade with North Korea hit a record $2.8 billion, even as the rest of the world was isolating Pyongyang. In Dandong, northeastern China, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Finally, the Charlotte County, Florida Sheriff's Office says it'll sell advertisements on its video monitor system for jail visitors. The still frame ads will rotate only when the TV's not in use. The money will go toward a welfare fund for the inmates. The sheriff says he'll offer the on-screen time to anyone who wants to reach out to a jailhouse audience, mainly lawyers. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being here. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.